Live from Patriot Studios, this is Soldiers of Patriotism with your hosts, Uncle Bing and Michael B.
United States of America.
And God bless you, Mr. Ronald Reagan, one of the greatest presidents ever in my lifetime, and probably ever in the history of our country. Good Sunday afternoon, patriots all. It's March 24th, 2013, and I thank you all for being here. We got a pretty good show today. We got John W. Stevens, the author of The Sissification of America, A 50-Year Decline in American Exceptionalism, and he's going to be here today. We got our friend Kurt Blackwood's going to do our Step Right Up segment. Very good. This guy knows his stuff. And then we also have Tennessee Representative, State Representative Joe Carr, who has a birthday tomorrow. And actually, it's pretty funny because we have a lot of birthdays this week. But I'd like to bring in my co-host. Michael's not going to be here today because he is in Arlington with the Chris Kyle family and so on, and Greg Maher, and they're going, the artist for the statue, so they're going over that. But I'd love to bring in my talented and lovely co-host, Barbara Mulligan Buffing. Hi, Barbara. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you? Hello, patriots. Thanks for joining us today. I'm excited to be here.
So, you got any birthdays this week? I've got my son. I've got my brother. I've got Joe over here. You know, it's just a birthday week or something. I don't know.
Actually, next Saturday is the youngest grandbaby's third birthday.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, then that's all it. This my big month is November.
Oh yeah, June is kind of a big month for me too. That's my birthday and my daughter's and a couple other things going on, plus Father's Day and all that kind of stuff. But I guess we're not here to talk about birthdays. But I'm sitting here looking at the news, and I don't know, the last couple of days, Barbara, I'm sitting here going back and forth, and I'm thinking, I don't know, I can't sleep. I'm having like some kind of ADD attack or something. I don't know what's going on with me, but I keep going from one news story to another. The poor woman in Georgia that with the two teens, 14 and 17, that went up to rob her, and she said, no, I don't have the money, and they ended up threatening her to shoot her or her child in the stroller. 14 months. Hasn't even talked yet, and they end up shooting that baby in the face. And they shot her too a couple times, shot her in the ear, shot her in the leg, I think, or in the arm. But this is the whole thing, Barbara, is that this gun ban that they're trying to talk about, that they're trying to hype and pass through the Senate as quick as they can get, is not going to do anything to stop those two freaking punks, okay, that went up and killed a baby. It's not.
You're right. Yeah, I know. And it gets me just as crazy as it gets you, because they don't the criminals get guns. They're going to get guns just like the drug addict's going to get drugs. You know, they're illegal. They get them off the street. It has nothing to do with us, the law-abiding citizen. And this whole mess is just, it gets me crazy.
There's no reason. Yeah, and there's no reason, Barbara, that they need to have registration, this big compilation of a database, okay, that they're going to oversee to have people that actually buy guns and shows legally. You know, or even if you get them passed down to you, if somebody dies in my family and passes a gun down to me, I got to go down and get it registered. For what reason? For what reason is registration for? It is not there for the people that are actually out there to, you know, owning a gun legally. It's for them to actually have a database of who you are, what you own, what you got, so that when the time comes, and the time's coming, and they're getting already pretty anxious about this. You've got Dianne Feinstein up there. This woman just, I don't know. There's words will not describe her to me. I mean, I guess there's words. Dianne Feinstein. Hello, let me have your guns. But there's words out there that actually describe her, but I can't say them on the air because I'm kind of a nice guy, you know. But uh-huh. I'm just saying that this woman is incarnate evil, because people don't understand, when we lose our Second Amendment, we lose the right, we lose the protection to protect the other amendments, the third,
right,
the first, the fifth, the tenth, every other one. We lose that right. And they're so freaked out that they want a vote. They want a vote, and that's all it is. That's all it boils down. But, I mean, I'm just keep looking at story after story this week, and we got Obama, you know, the teleprompter of the United States, running around, you know, trying to, you know, hang out with the Israelis like he's Mr. Nice Guy all of a sudden.
No, please.
You know, it's sickening. It's sickening.
Well, you know, the thing that got me, too, with Dianne Feinstein, when, you know, Harry Reid told her to drop it and all, you know, I had that gut feeling because I knew John Kerry was over at the UN doing their negotiation stuff. And I'm like, no wonder why she dropped it. They're going to screw us that way. But the Senate voted 53-46 to stop the U.S. from joining the U.N. Arms Treaty. And those numbers scare me. We should have more
in favor of
leaving us alone. So here we go. We've got to get rid of these people who are voting for it. I mean, they're just useless to the American people.
Well, the UN itself is pretty useless to the American people. By the way, you're listening to Soldiers of Patriotism on conservativenationradio.org, and our call-in number is 718-305-7176 if you care to call in. We got a bunch of callers on already, and get your call in early so you can talk to us, you can talk to our guests, whatever. I'm sitting there looking at some of the headlines and so on, and as I said, you know, with this woman in Georgia, I mean, and they're thinking about trying both those. Well, I know they already are going to try the 17-year-old on murder. you would think, right? But they're talking about the 14-year-old as well. And I know he didn't pull the trigger. And I'm kind of wondering about our listeners as far as how they think about that. I mean, I think they should both be charged with murder because they were both implicated in that, and they both committed that. Whether you're, you know, sitting there hanging out with somebody or you're pulling the trigger, I think you're pretty much involved in that. There's a lot of ton of other things going on. You know, the sequester. Okay, we're talking about now that they closed down the White House, but now we're talking about, oh, we got all these airports and so on that are going to be closing down and so on, the air control track or the traffic control towers. And I found out that some of these were going to close anyways. So,
you know, because it's such rhetoric that they're talking.
It's scare tactics, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not going to miss anything, I don't think. I don't think we're going to miss much of anything out of this sequester. I think this sequester ought to last like forever, and it ought to be even more. And next year we'll do another one, and we'll just double down on it. That's what I look. I mean, I'm not missing anything. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm not missing anything. I guess maybe if you're in a union or something or whatever, if you're in the armed forces, you might have to be, cut back and so on. But, we had to do this where I work a few years ago, and we had to take a little bit of a cut, and we had to do a couple things here and there to get by and to get over, just to help the company along, just to make sure that we survived, and we survived. And it might have hurt a little bit, but the thing is that it wasn't a death knell.
Right. And one of the big things that gets me is, this president is like, oh, yeah, let's do this gun ban because of the kids in school. And, my thing is, if everything is for the kids, you SOB, open up that White House for those kids. And you know what? If you can't pay, the Easter egg hunt, put out the money yourself. You don't pay for anything, cheapskate Dem. Oh, I get so mad. Because it's not for the kids. It's for his own selfishness.
Oh, this was the let me lay on my back and kick my legs and hold my breath till I'm blue in the face baby kind of crap. This is the same kind of crap that we've been getting out of this Congress, that we've been getting out of the Senate and the House. These mm-hmm. people, and John Bonner, I just can't handle these people anymore to a point, because they're just they're wishy-washy. They're, in my opinion, a lot of them are liars. There's a lot of good people up there, okay? Got Rand Paul over there. Rand Paul, I thought, okay, rock star. Rand Paul up there with the, filibuster. And what's he do?
Mm-hmm.
He goes and shoots himself broadside with a missile, by
mm-hmm.
speaking to the Hispanics, telling them that they don't have to go back, but he's going to grant them amnesty. What are these people thinking? That's not what Tea Party is about. That's not what we are about. We don't want amnesty. We want these people got here. They can go back home. They can surely go back home. It don't take that much.
Well, come here or get legal. I don't know what part of legal and illegal these people don't understand. Our people, our government, what do they not understand about illegal?
No, I know. We were talking about this earlier, me and your husband Al, and I want to elaborate on this a little bit, but I got a little bit of business to take care of. The leftist media, by the way, would like conservatives like us to think that we're a few lonely voices in the wilderness, but don't be fooled, because Americans that identify themselves as conservatives outnumber liberals by 2-1, according to numerous polls, even by liberals. If you support traditional American values, there's a place for you to call home on the Internet. And next week, we're going to have Robert Garding, and he's going to have a show on here, too, about traditional American values and principles and so on. But anyways, our movement is called the TraditionalAmericanMovement.com, or TRADAM, as we call it. TraditionalAmericanMovement.com is a place where real conservatives can meet up without turf wars. Come on in, leave your jackets on, whatever. And find out what's new in the conservative community. Join up, find out what's happening, and be a part of the conservative revolution. All on traditionalamericanmovement.com. Hope to see you soon. And we are a liberal-free zone. 718-305-7176. People, call in. Get your calls in right now. The board's getting stacked. And that way you get a chance to talk with us. And Barbara, we're going to go ahead and play a little PSA for everybody.
Got it.
In the small town of Elmira, New York, a boy was born into an all-American family. The odds of him opening his own clothing store at the age of 18? 1 in 138,000. Excited to be a part of pop culture, he packed for the big city. The odds of finding someone to invest in his vision? 1 in 4.5 million. The odds of him achieving his dream in the fashion industry? 1 in 23 million. the odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I am Tommy Hilfiger, and my family is affected by autism. I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Nurse, I need you to apply pressure to the head wound until I can get to it. I'm concerned she's lost too much blood.
Oh, no.
You in the corner, who are you? You're not supposed to be here.
She's my girlfriend, doctor.
You need to wait out in the waiting room.
Please, doctor, I want to stay with her.
Look, she's been badly injured. So if you want to do what's best for her, you need to let us do our work.
Please, doctor, she has to be okay. I didn't mean to do this. I love her.
Wait a second. You were the driver?
Yes, but I didn't mean to. I swear, we went to dinner. I was just buzzed. I only had a few drinks.
Just buzzed? Why didn't you tell us that? In that case, your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great. You want to get out of here?
I can't believe this. Really, doctor? She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
And welcome back to Soldiers of Patriotism. And that number is 718-305-7176. And you can also check us out at our show page, which is conservativenationradio.org. conservativenationradio.org. Anytime you want, just look us up. I got our next segment actually is Step Right Up, and I'm kind of a little bit, you know, behind here because I do some things that Michael does and some things that he does that I don't do and so on. So I'm kind of running a little weird here on this programming, but bear with me. Barbara's helping me out, so I'm having to deal with how she acts to me and so on. But it's all a learning experience, isn't it, Barbara?
It absolutely is, and don't worry, I won't be so hard on you.
Oh, that's okay. All right, anyways, I'm going to bring on my brother, Kurt Blackwood. And Kurt is going to be doing the Step Right Up segment here in just a few seconds. So I wanted to bring him up and kind of get him queued up. He's been doing a lot of things, and if you don't know Kurt, Kurt is out there in Tennessee quite a bit, and he is doing a lot of great things, and he's going to talk to us a little bit about some of it. Take it away, Blackwood.
I'm my own thing.
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. I wasn't quite sure. The music just ended kind of abruptly there. Well, hey, look, just a couple of quick sentences here on something. I spent the day at a gun show in Jackson, Tennessee yesterday, and it was a good day. And I'm going to tell you what we did. I was with some friends of mine from down in Fayette County, Tennessee, who they have a dual purpose there. They have a booth where they sell some stuff and things, okay? They also have another table or booth, whichever you prefer to call it, that is strictly, quote, Tea Party stuff. They're the Fayette County Tea Party, and they, long story short, we sat there all day yesterday and gave away constitutions and printed material that they had printed up on some current issues. And so we gave away about 300 constitutions today. And it's a good day. I mean, we need more of this kind of thing. We've got some names of potential new activists, as it were. But anyway, for today's segment here, I've got a rant today, folks. And I'm going to talk about this. And it has to do with the University of Tennessee over in Knoxville.
Oh,
something that they have planned over there for the first week in April. I'm going to go back and remind us of something here. They're scattered all over. You know, you can get them anywhere on the internet. There are 45 declared goals for the communist takeover of America. It's part of a 1963 congressional record. It's there. If anybody has trouble locating that, get to us on Threadam, or we can direct you to it. I want to point you to goal number 26 of these stated 45. Number 26. And it says this: present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. Okay? That leads me to what is going on. I posted this link earlier in chat there, and if I get time, I'll post it again. I'll probably be after I get through doing this rant here, though. The headline on this article says, University of Tennessee to feature lesbian bondage expert as part of $20,000 sex week at the University of Tennessee. And I'm going to give you some quotes out of their advertisement here. The University of Tennessee is set to spend $20,000 of student funds on a sex week beginning April 7th, which will feature a golden condom scavenger hunt and an interactive workshop from self-described lesbian BDSM expert, self-described expert, billed as Sinclair Sex Smith. Don't ask me where that came from, folks. I don't know. But anyway, a flyer from the University of Tennessee's Sex Week said it's set to include a lecture entitled, How Many Licks Does It Take? There's a wonderful topic. I mean, first of all, the idea that college students need sex education is foreign to me. Most eighth graders don't need it anymore. They already know. They know way too much. But anyway, back to this. Some of the advertising here on this. The Sex Week team will hide this golden condom somewhere on campus. And it reads, clever hints will be revealed daily. The retriever of this condom will win a prize. They don't say what the prize is. I don't think I want to know. The event's official website lists that there will also be a workshop led by this sex smith person will instruct participants on how to turn up the heat on our own sex drive and to play with Bush/Femme, F-E-double-M-E, however you pronounce that. I call it Bush/Femme roles. Other events being hosted as part of the week include two lectures by sexologist Megan, I can't pronounce it, Angelo, that are named Big Orange, okay, folks, if you don't know the Tennessee, there's known as the Big Orange. The colors are orange and white. But this is in parentheses here, Big Orange, comma, Big Blank. You fill in the blank. I don't know what was there, but they saw fit to delete that. And it goes on to tell a lot more than probably most of you want to know about this so-called sex week over in UT Knoxville. This is what our tax dollars are going to fund over there. Right, first of all, like I said, the concept that college students need a class on how to be promiscuous is an absolute. My mind can't grasp the concept, the thinking process of the people who came up with this. And it goes back to what I said before. It's not because it's something that these people think that it's good, that it's necessary. It's part of what was stated in that number 26 goal of the Communist Party, their stated goals for the takeover the communists take over the United States of America. It's called destroying the principles, destroying the morality in this country. And it is working rather well, unfortunately. And I noticed of interest on this link that I posted earlier, and I will post it again when I get done here in the chat. As sidebars on this website, I want to tell you about a few things that it lists on there to call your attention to it. One of them is Bill Ayers was awarded a visiting scholar status at the Minnesota State University. Now, that's wonderful. A former homegrown terrorist bomber, one of America's own homegrown terrorists, if I remember correctly, he was a weatherman, underground weatherman or something like that. He blew up things in protests around the United States. He should be in prison, and I don't know why he's not. Well, actually, I do. He has friends in low places, and they take care of him. These low places being Washington, D.C. Another sidebar on this is an update to the Tennessee. Oh, yes, a bunch of people started raising up, and you're going to hear more about this, but the pressure was put on the UT chancellors, and they pulled the state tax dollar funding on this thing. But you know in your heart, this money that's going to be spent on that is still some way, somehow, coming out of taxpayers' pockets. They're not going to pay for any of this themselves. So we're still paying for it, bottom line. Another sidebar on this, Ohio State student says he left the graduate program after being harassed over his criticism of diversity programs. Well, there's another little jewel. You see, we catch flack all the time that we're intolerant. But when a UCLA conservative speak out, the left will jump on him with both feet. This person is being harassed because he criticized a diversity program. You can read the details of that for yourself when you go to this link. Another situation here, a Breitbart reporter talks about he faced discrimination at American University for his conservative beliefs. Oh, yeah, here's another one. UCLA will offer a summer course on LGBTQ perspectives and pop music. That should be a real winner.
I'm sorry.
Another sidebar here, and this is kind of jumping around, but it covers, this is all relative in it. Topics of why we have some of these gigantic problems that we've got. Grover Norquist. I'm sure that most of you are familiar with that name. If you're not familiar with it, you should become familiar. Grover Norquist is thought by many to be a conservative Republican. Far from it. Norquist has said that he wants TV cameras in every classroom. I haven't read that whole article, but I will. I want to tell you something. John Gundol, retired, I believe he was CIA. Don't quote me on that, but if you Google John Gundol, G-U-A-N-D-O-L-O, I heard him speak in Nashville one time, and he is excellent. He's active, and he's spilling the beans on a lot of nasty, dirty stuff that's going on in America and around the world, for that matter. So check into the situation on Grover Norquist. This is a guy that, well, you could paint him in the rhino camp. Just call him a rhino and be done with it, okay? Pardon?
I said definitely.
Yeah. Another deal we got going on here, there's an upcoming workshop at Brown University. This one is designed to help queer minorities overcome attraction to queer whites. Now, how's that for a segregation thing? I mean, even queer whites are distasteful to queers of non-white skin color. There's a little role reversal for you. Okay,
well,
enough on that.
It sickens me that taxpayer money is going to this. That's what kind of sickens me the most. Out of all this, everything that you mentioned, it's all funded by taxpayer money in some shape, manner, or form. And, you know, we need to put a stop to this. And if you can hang around, I'd like to bring this topic up to Representative Joe Carlin when we talk to him on the other side of the break.
Yeah, okay. Let me get you one more sentence on this here, and I'll be good to go. You see, I sat in Nashville, the last two or three weeks, on budget hearings for the University of Tennessee. They had all kinds of official brass there to present their needs and wants for their budget. These were all UT officials. One of their cries is they're trying to justify their needs and wants for more money with this. They talk about that they cannot graduate enough qualified students to fill the job market. They need X number of thousands of students, and they're only going to graduate about half that many. They say, okay, here's my question. Where is this job market that's begging for all these people that we can't furnish?
I was just going to ask you that. It's got to be in the government.
I wanted to give them Ryan McKenzie's phone number. We on Trad Am all know who Ryan McKenzie is. He's a young man with a master's degree over there in Chattanooga or Knoxville. He's finished his post-grad work. He cannot find a job except doing, you know, this, that, and the other. He cannot find a job. This job market business, that's crap. That's garbage.
It's created jobs by the government.
Not there. But
it's
anyway,
created jobs
that's,
by the government, Mr.
Well,
Blackwood.
Yeah.
That's just the way
it is.
Yeah.
But that's how they're justifying all that. And they talk about biofuels, and you know, they've blown $76 million messing with biofuels, and they got a return on it of about $6 million. So we're $70 million in the hole on that over at UT. But anyway, I know you got to do a break here, man. And so anyway, I'll be here.
Yeah, I'm past my break there, Kurt, but thank you for coming in.
Are you tired of your hard-earned money going to support liberal and progressive enterprises? I know I am. That's why I shop at thethirdlantern.com. This conservative marketplace ensures that your money is well spent and supports conservative entrepreneurs dedicated to making their products here in America. Look, I'm a business owner. I know how hard it can be to get your product out there. Get on his vendors list, and it will help your sales. I have had his barbecue sauce. It is amazing. Check out the website, thethirdlantern.com. That's the number 3, RD, lantern.com. Send your liberal friends there and tell them Higgin Resch sent you. Thethirdlantern.com. Put your money where your ideology is.
Welcome back, people. You're listening to Soldiers of Patriotism on conservativenationradio.org. And our call-in number is 718-305-7176. And right now, we're going to bring up Tennessee representative out of the 48th District, basically Murfreesboro and the borough area, that kind of thing, Rutherford County, Mr. Joe Cart. Happy birthday there, boy.
Well,
welcome.
That's a day early, but that's better a day early than a dollar short, right?
So, well, I'm not on the air tomorrow, so I can't say happy birthday to you tomorrow.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Yes, happy birthday. I would have said that when I screened the call.
Well, I don't advertise it. We've had 55 of these apps up tomorrow. I think people are pretty tired of it.
Well, you should be counting backwards now, though, right?
Yeah, that's right. We need to count them backwards. I need to rediscover. I need to find the fountain of youth is what I need to find. So,
hey, if you find it, let me know. I'll come join you.
Yeah,
that's like a good idea.
So, Representative Carr, I don't know if you heard any of Kurt's speech there on Step Right Up, and which we love to have people come on and just talk about things that really
irk them and get their goat. And he was talking about UT and their sex week. Do you have any comments?
Well, it just shows you just how far afield from the practical moral values that our higher education system has gone in an effort to for no other reason than to stroke the ego of the intellectual elite, which is neither elite nor very intellectual. But it just shows you how much a lot of our universities live in this bubble whereby experimentation is encouraged without regards to the moral problems that it creates for the rest of society as a whole. And I mean, you know, it's sad, it's pathetic, and it just shows you how far we have fallen culturally and as a society. And on that point, you know, I was talking to somebody a couple 3 weeks ago, and it was the conversation got kind of heated, and it was a person on the other side of the aisle, both ideologically and philosophically and spiritually, and just in every way imaginable from the things that I believe. And this person really, really believed that the effort on the part of our healthcare system and our education system was a noble effort to cure the society of its ailments. And it dawned on me that that's exactly what education and healthcare have become. They've become a dumping ground for the cultural problems that we have refused to address, whether it's the breakup of the family or it's the moral decline of how we treat each other or whatever it is. But now we've looked to education and healthcare as means not by which to treat people's illnesses or to educate the young, but it's a place where we can deposit the cultural problems that plague this country. And it's not going to – it won't work. It can't work. But
it's like dropping your kids off at daycare, you know. I mean, you know, just going tootling about the rest of your day and not even worry about them.
Well, this country has a hyperactive hypothalamus gland. And if you know what the hypothalamus gland is, it's that little gland that debates the brain that senses and derives pleasure. And so what we do is we have sought in this country, at the expense of everything else, the desire to make sure that we aren't responsible, but that we please ourselves at
the expense of others.
Exactly. And so now we've got, you know, we treat the unborn as a discarded mass of tissue. We treat the infants as nothing more than a byproduct of something that happened that was inconvenient. We treat the elderly as disgraced and discarded human beings. And you know, the fact of the matter is that there's a moral failure in this country and breakdown on accepting the consequences of your actions and being held responsible for those actions.
Oh, correct. Absolutely. I wanted to get to as far as the rap in Tennessee. You know, I know that you had some bills that you were putting through last week. You had 11, I think, you were carrying. And
yeah.
You moved some of them up, or they moved some of them. I don't know exactly how that works, but
sure.
You had K-12 and the pre-K.
Allowing I think teachers and faculty members to carry firearms in the school if they're properly instructed was initially flagged by the governor, so he opposed it. But upon further review, I expressed to the governor's senior staff that I was a little incredulous as to why they'd be opposed to it, since A, it was permissive, it allowed the LEA, the local education association, the local school board, to make that determination, and B, it set some pretty high standards on the part of those faculty members to receive the necessary training commensurate to a student resource officer. So after taking a second look at it, the governor's pulled the flag, and it has even found that his staff has found that there may be some merit in moving that bill through. So we'll be moving that bill out hopefully this week, and we're quite optimistic.
Yeah, I am too. And I tell you what, if it involves taxpayer money, I'm all for that. I don't mind, you know, funding something, a program like this, because I think this will keep people safe. It's not going to keep people safe like the two punks in Georgia that shot that little 14-month-old. You know, but that's what people don't understand. These people there that shot that young child, they did not get their guns legally, or they stole them from their parents, or whatever it might be. And maybe there's some issues there that we need to deal with. But as far as, you know, an assault weapon ban, I don't even think they shot them with an assault weapon. I think it was a low caliber weapon.
These were two punks, two thugs, who should, one was 17, the other one's 14. Neither one should have had a firearm. And classically, they didn't know how to use a firearm. And the most important thing is they didn't even value life. The fact that they were the baby was shot is secondary in my mind. Is the fact that these two boys had such a low opinion of life that they would take an innocent life to make a point to the mother who either didn't have or refused to give up her purse.
Right.
That's where we are. This isn't a gun problem. This is not a gun problem. It's not any more a gun problem than it's an automobile problem when you have a drunk driver out on the road getting involved in an accident. It's not a car problem when you have a drunk driver. It's not a gun problem when you have a thug with a gun. I'm sorry?
Yeah, it's a crazy person problem.
It's a crazy person problem. We have a cultural problem. And quite honestly, I don't know what the answer is. There may not be an answer. We may be so far down the pipe.
Oh, that's terrible to hear you say that. That really is, because I don't know. And a lot of people get on me about saying stuff like that to Representative Carr. But we're talking to Representative Jill Carr from Las Casas, 48th District, Tennessee. It's crazy that these people can sit there and on the opposite side of the aisle, you got the elitists that want to ban all these weapons. They want to get rid of them because they think that they're going to be safer there, you know, and that's not the issue.
I don't think they give any thought to that. I don't think the people in the extreme liberal liberal part of the Democratic Party who are making these decisions for Obama, I don't believe they think they're going to be any more or less safer at all. I don't even believe it's an issue of safety with them. It's a complete issue of control.
And they're playing on people's emotions is what they're doing. And I'll tell you this little story. I don't know, it's about 10 or 12 years ago. My brother went to go get us tickets to, it was called the Hell's Ball, with the Hell's Angels up on Long Island, and I happened to be up there, and my brother went to get tickets because he has friends, and there was a shooting. I don't know how much you all know about motorcycles, but one of the pagans just got out of jail, so they went to to the Hell's Angels place and started shooting the place up. And when I got home, came back to North Carolina, you know, my husband had a deal on a gun for me. And when I got back home, I was so emotional because of that incident that my brother almost got shot. And I was terrified at that point that I didn't want a gun in my hand. But that was just because of an emotional thing. Once I got over the emotional part of it, you know, and kind of got myself back together, I was pissed at myself now because I don't have that gun. I have a different one.
Yeah.
Well, look, anytime you deal with anything emotionally, which is what liberals tend to do, instead of dealing with it logically, you basically are already behind the eight ball.
Well, you have to remember this thing, and this is real important to your listeners. We conservatives and liberty-loving patriots see the world through a different set of glasses. We have a completely different worldview than liberals, than Democrats. Completely different. And it's if I could ever share anything with anybody, it's that when you're having a conversation with a liberal, or when you are watching the mainstream media, always remember their worldview is diametrically opposite of yours. And every time they say something, it's based on a premise of a belief system and premise that you probably don't subscribe to. And it's real important that we remember that, because everything they do and everything they say and everything they believe is couched in the term that whatever is good for the collective, for the group, as a whole, it justifies the means necessary for attaining that goal. And that includes, but not limited to, our individual liberty. So it's nothing for them to qualify the Second Amendment to the extent that it says, you know, your right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, because the first thing they want to do is they want to qualify that. And where they begin that qualification effort is, well, what does this mean? You have a nuclear bomb under your bed, or can you have a hand grenade? See, those are insane, ridiculous examples. Okay, but that's where they go, because then they start to creep on your worldview. Whereas a Christian, as a person who believes in the sanctity of God and the atoning blood of His Son, and who promoted individual responsibility and personal liberty, you know, that's what Jesus promoted. You know, you as an individual are a free will being, and the decisions and the belief systems that you adopt, you are responsible for. Nobody else. You're responsible for those. And they don't like that, because it promotes an individual spirit, which is exactly, I believe, how God made it.
Well, truer words never spoken, Representative Carr. And I tell you what, you're going to be in Nashville Thursday, I hear, with my buddy Phil Valentine.
Yeah, the Tea Party rally, our convention or thing at Thursday evening, right?
Yeah, 6:30 I think it is, and I'm going to try to be there.
I think they have me speaking.
Oops. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think I'm speaking that evening at a Tea Party meeting in Nashville with Phil Valentine. I think I'm one of the speakers.
Yeah, as far as the email I got, you know, I'm going to try to be there. I'll be a guy out there waving my hand or something like that. Or I'll probably come up to you beforehand and say, check your hand.
Well, I hope so.
I might throw something at you. I don't know. But look,
I've had things thrown at me before. Just it won't be new.
But look, I want
throw a shoe.
No. But Representative Carr, we appreciate our time together, man. True words were not spoken tonight. I mean, and you got anything hot? Like, are you going to be running for Senate soon? I know we're past our break, and that's cool.
Well, we've been working on something. I've had a number of people ask me if I would run for higher office, so we're praying about it, and we'll probably have an announcement in a couple of weeks. And what we'll do is maybe we can talk about it in a couple of weeks when it becomes a little more relevant. But we're thinking about some things, but we haven't made any decisions yet. We're still a long ways away.
Okay, very cool. I was wondering, everybody else in line here, if I can, real quick, just to sing a little happy birthday. One, two, happy birthday to
you. Nobody else is singing. What's up with that?
Everybody's singing the happy birthday, Representative Carr. Happy birthday to you.
You guys did too much. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I'll see you Thursday, hopefully.
Oh, thank you. God bless, and y'all have a great rest of the weekend.
You too. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
He's always a lot of fun, Barbara, to have on. The guy is really super. And I'm telling you, if he runs for Senate, he's got my vote. Oh, I forgot to look up. Oh, I got a liner to read. I'm going to do my paperwork. Okay, hey, look, it's live radio, you know. Here we go. Okay, Barbara, you ought to read this one. Conservative respects, or respect pioneers, and Brenda Ward has been with ConservativeNationRadio.org since the very beginning. Michelle Malkin, Laura Ingraham, Ann Coulter, and Monica Crowley have nothing on Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing, Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. That's the place to hear from real women who are real patriots. So
that's
let your
right.
voice be heard. Incidentally, conservative guys are welcome too. Okay, that's the you got the B&B show over there. So, Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing on ConservativeNationRadio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. And you guys do a great show.
Well, thank good. You. Okay.
And let's see. I'm trying to get John.
Wow, yeah, since the storm.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm going with it?
Yeah, go with it.
Wow, yeah, since the storm, it's been crazy busy for us. We got all kinds of office desks coming in. Now, here's a fancy one right here. It's missing a leg, but that's all right. Whatever. Washers and dryers from a laundromat. Oh, wow, and check this out. Another deep fryer. And I'm not sure what this doohickey is. Yeah, most businesses weren't ready for a storm like that, you know. But our work's really piling up here at Roberts & Son Salvage.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency, and 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. 718-305-7176. Soldiers of Patriotism on ConservativeNationRadio.org. We're trying to get our guest here, who would be John Stevens. If you could please call in the number, I just gave it, 718-305-7176. So you can call in, give us a shout, or you can Skype up there, but sometimes that don't work for me either, Barb.
Okay, in the meantime, while we're waiting.
In the meantime, let's get on Ron. He's been waiting for
okay.
a little while. Hello,
yeah,
Ron from Georgia. You probably got a better little introspect on this. These two punks that shot that baby in Georgia than we do, but you
oh,
feel free to talk
mess.
About whatever you want to.
They need to make examples out of them again. You know, I'm a big proponent in capital punishment, and we've quit doing that. And even when we punish somebody with our capital system, we make it so painless that it just goes to sleep. These kids need to be hung by their fingernails until they're dead. I'm sorry, they've watched one too many video games, or they've got into some of that what is that stuff that Trayvon Martin was selling the night that he got shot?
Meth
or that homemade stuff, you know, where they put the cold medicine together and make a thing. I'm thinking they had to been on some of that or something, because there's no way you can imagine shooting a baby in the face. What in the world are they thinking?
Well, they shot the mother twice, too. They shot
well,
her
of course they did, but she was the easy
the
target. The baby was the focus. Shooting
yeah,
that baby, it did away with all humanity. There was no humanity in it at that point.
Oh, no.
And they need to be treated as if they're not human. Seriously.
I agree. I mean, look, and I would also look back into their parents' background, because, look, the nuts don't fall far from the tree. You see what
Heck
I'm saying?
No, they don't.
And these parents, I mean, I've done some crazy stuff when I was a kid, too, all right? Probably stuff that I should be in jail for, but I never did. And the thing is because I didn't go that to that extreme. I mean, my stuff was little stupid pranks, you know, putting cellophane over a toilet bowl, you know, just, you know, see the, you know, I mean, that was my extent of a prank, all right, you know. I didn't go out there carrying a gun anywhere and threaten to rob somebody and shoot somebody up. But, I mean, yeah, these people are just, yeah, they definitely do need a little lesson with a stick.
But an example, so that other kids don't follow in their footsteps. I mean, I don't know how to stop it, but it's got to be stopped.
Well, it definitely does. We got our guest, John Stevens, on. You want to hold a little bit?
Sure, go ahead.
All right, thank you, Ron. Oh. All right, bring on my guest here, John Stevens, the author of...
Yes, sir.
Specification.
How are you doing, Dean?
I'm doing fine. I've got some stuff going all over the place, but your book we talked about a few weeks ago, The Specification of America, A 50-Year Decline in American Exceptionalism. And we got a little bit of time left. We went over on that. I'm so sorry, but we got a full hour devoted for...
Oh, no worries. No worries.
After the break, but... go ahead. Just tell us a little bit about you. I noticed your latest blog, as far as the one I can tell, is a traditional American movement. You actually wrote about us over there, so if you want to start there.
Go ahead.
Oh no, you go ahead. If you want to tie in,
it's definitely tied into the traditional American movement because I'm a traditional American, and I think the majority of Americans are. Standing for what made our country great in the first place and how we need to recover that. And that, in my opinion, it also starts with our youth. That's one of the reasons why I've kind of hung in there in public education as long as I have. If I have the time, I just wanted to share with you. I think I did it one time on chat. We just had our 3-day Pioneer Day Mountain Man Rendezvous at the school, middle school, where I teach at here in Redlands, California. And it went great. It was like stepping back in the past, and we had an actual mountain man teaching the boys and girls how to do tomahawk throws and shooting bows and arrows. We had a professional caller that was playing his instruments and teaching another group of kids the hoedown dancing, and I played the bass for them and helped them call. Then they were cooking and Johnny Cakes in another cooking station, which was great, and they loved those, and having campfire coffee for the first time. And then there was another station where they were making candles and learning about the courting candle. Another station where my son-in-law, Tim, who owns an apple farm up in Oak Glen, he was teaching them the basics and the history of cabin making. And so they were stacking the framework for a cabin and using a cross-cut saw and a draw knife to help whittle down some logs. And then we had another station of where they were making ropes and actually making a rope and having individual tug of war and then tying knots. And so those are pretty much the things that we were doing, which took an entire day. And it was like stepping back in time, and the kids loved it.
Oh, that could take an entire week. I know that we have out here in Tennessee, we have the flint napping and that kind of thing going on out in Morrison. And they also do Atlanta throws and stuff. So it's tremendous to see people that are into, you know, that kind of thing, the prehistoric, I would call it, I guess, in a way, type of arts.
Well,
I
for
think
the
it's
kids,
fantastic.
It probably is. But that's
yeah.
They're learning it. And,
yeah,
and amazing. You want to know something else which was cool? We had a total of, over the 3 days, 436 eighth graders out up there. And, you know, not once was a smartphone out. That's how engaged they were with the activities, which really surprised me. I thought somewhere along the line I might have to go and confiscate a cell phone or a smartphone. Nope. They were just really engaged with what they were doing.
Oh, that's absolutely fantastic. I mean, you know, it – kids, when you give them something to do, and I know growing up, I mean, I know it was probably the same with you. When we went out in the morning, okay, growing up as kids, we were gone. Yes. We were gone all day. My mom had no, my dad, my mom, my dad was at work or my mom was at home. She had no way of getting a hold of us.
No.
You know, except
no,
the dinner bell. We came home when the dinner bell went off for when it got too dark to see.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, times have changed, but I think that it is possible to recapture the essence of what made us great. That's why I wrote the book, because we hear about all these side issues, and you guys were talking about it, and I'm thinking the libs just don't have a clue. They hate our past. I wrote about that in another blog on my website, and the reason they hate our past is because they don't want the American people to know that if they were to read the quotes of our founding fathers and so forth and our first presidents, they'd find out that, you know, they would have to toe the traditional American line, and they don't want to do that. They want to create their one-world government, and we are the citizens of the world, and so forth. And just, you know, I think that's one of the reasons why I speculate they hate our past so much, because what they want to do is they want to control the public education systems and get our kids gradually away from patriotic assemblies, singing patriotic hymns, and because traditional Americans hold to our Constitution and the virtues that made our country great. And if they can gradually wean kids off of this, as well as their parents, which started, you know, during the course of the past 50 years, then they're pushing kind of like a one-world government, a one-world view on our society. And the tragic thing is, it's working. So that's where we need to take the schools back.
Yeah, that's definitely where we need to go. We're going to take a quick break. John W. Stevens, author of Sissification of America and a 50-Year Decline in American Exceptionalism. And we'll be right back with him in just a shake.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration. And that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811. PCSforAutomation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
Remember when your neighbor found us naked in the car, and the time some outdoor action got us kicked out of the park, getting frisky in the dark. I gave your eye a poke, think the dog is in the bedroom. I smell smoke, you and me, we never give up, you and me, never, ever, ever give up.
Give up on sex. Don't give up on birth control either. There are more methods than you think. Visit Bedsider.org to compare all the choices and put the bogus myths to bed at Bedsider.org.
Boy,
brought to you by Bedsider and the Ad Council. Bedsider.org.
And welcome back to Soldiers of Patriotism. The call-in line is 718-305-7176 if you care to opine or bring us your opinion. And we're talking with author John W. Stevens, The Sissification of America. And you can go and get his book over there, sissificationofamerica.blogspot.com. And I think it's also on Amazon. Am I right, John?
Yeah, the easiest is the website. If they go to the listeners go to www. And by the way, this is all lowercase and together, sissificationofamerica.com. Again, that's www.sissificationofamerica.com. It'll bring up the website, and all you need to do is click on the pretty picture of the book with the dunce cap on the chair, and it'll take you to the Amazon store, and people can buy it in print or on Kindle. I'm still a print person myself. I've got to get with it, I suppose, with the electronic books, but I still like holding the old-fashioned books in my hand. But it's up to everybody to do what they'd like.
and definitely go out there. It's a great book. I read it. It's just fascinating. I mean, you actually go through everything and document it very well. It's a very good book.
6 years in the writing, researching and writing. I took my time because I'm a full-time teacher, and I wear another hat. I help my wife over at one of our local high schools as an assistant choral director. So I wear kind of several hats here.
Yeah, and for our listeners, I mean, you're in California, right?
Yes, sir. Uh-huh. Yes, I am.
You're a teacher over there.
Well, you know, it's interesting because actually where I teach, we live in a pretty conservative area. I've been telling various people that I've also been lecturing on the lecture circuit too, you know, really it's San Francisco and Los Angeles that control the politics of the state of California. The rest of the state is conservative. And if it were up to us, we would vote conservatively. But, you know, the Democrats control the San Francisco Bay Area and the Los Angeles area. Therefore, they control, you know, the politics of the states. But, boy, I'll tell you, there are a great number of conservatives that still live out in this state, and they're up in arms with what's happening. And what I find interesting, too, being and your listeners, there's actually some liberal colleagues that I teach with that are getting fed up as well. You know, they're just, you know, then I said, well, then why do you vote the way you do? And they said, well, you know, it's time to be traditional and so forth and so forth. But you know, when you hear them talk, at least if they're being honest with me in their conversation, which I believe they are, they're getting kind of fed up with the direction that the country is going. And I said, well, all right, then join the traditional American movement and let's make some changes.
Well, that's the whole thing, with that name, it really doesn't matter what name we call ourselves, as long as we are practicing what we preach, and
exactly.
As long as we are dealing with trying to deal with change in this country. And the change that we're getting from the teleprompter of the United States is not the change that I think a lot of people want.
Absolutely, that's so true.
It goes back to. And, you know, it just surprises me anytime. We've had other guests, you know, from New York, Long Island up there and so on that were teachers. And it surprises me that there are that many teachers that are willing to stick their neck out and write a book like you did and so on, you know, espousing conservative type of views. And actually, you know, just regular down-to-earth, how we used to be type of views.
Well, it's interesting, too. You know, I just spoke about a week ago to the Redlands Republican Women up at where they were meeting at the local country club, and I signed and sold about 30 books in person there, and I was their featured speaker. And many of the ladies sitting in the audience were former teachers, retired teachers, and they were conservative. And, you know, I was telling the ladies, you know, and I told them that this was in the book. I said, as far as I'm concerned, and this is just my personal opinion, you guys may agree or disagree with this, I'd be interested in your take on it, but I point out that we've got to get tough. We need to quit being the gentleman and the gentle lady, and I know that's probably hard in the South because you folks are such respectful people, and Southerners always are, but I almost wish we could get to a point where we would resurrect the spirit of Lee Atwater, the 1980s, where, you know, we kind of get our hands dirty and just start going after the liberals. You know, like I think back when John McCain was running in 2008 and there was a very conservative man in the town hall meeting, a black man, that it was pleading and begging with John McCain to get tough with him and tell people what it's all about. And I remember McCain standing up there before the election saying, oh, don't worry, you know, Obama's a nice man and we'll be all fine. And I'm going, you're running against him for president and you're acting like a fool. The same thing in some ways with Mitt Romney. You know, he had an opportunity in the third debate And in my opinion, this is when he lost the election. He could have gone after our president on the Benghazi issue, but he didn't. And, you know, he was slightly ahead in the polls at that time. So, you know, conservatives have to kind of, in my opinion, we have to man up and we have to start saying, look, enough is enough. And, you know, and getting tougher instead of just turning the other cheek. I don't know. What do you guys think? I'd be interested.
Well, I got my cousin's a school teacher up in Long Island, and she posted a blog from some guy, and the blog's title is "Why My Daughter's Education Sucks."
Yeah.
And the reason being, you know, and I'll kind of do a synopsis on it, is their math is more complicated than it needs to be, and the kids today, they're more they have to do good on their test, whether it's right or wrong, and that's what they're worried about. And this father is like, asked his daughter, how many books do you read in English? And they don't read books. They don't take home books and read books anymore. They read little articles, and then that's it. They move on. So they're not getting, you know, what we got in reading a book.
It's hard. I'm noticing as a teacher, Barbara, that the reading comprehension level, and I write about this in the book, that it's going down significantly with our children. Not all of them, but a good percentage of them, because they aren't reading as much. And their vocabulary, an extensive vocabulary is at risk as a result, you know.
That's
and
on phonics.
Goodness, it's just... Fortunately, I still work in a district that still promotes reading, and my kids are required to read literature in my classroom, and getting ready to take them on a sailing adventure on a wooden tall ship to Catalina in a few weeks. And boy, wait till they meet the captain of that ship as he reenacts the tall ships of the 1840s during Manifest Destiny. Are they ever in for a treat? He might even bring out or come up to introduce himself like he has in years past with a lit cigar hanging from his mouth, you know. And he got irritated with one kid and blew some smoke in his face one time, you know. So it's just, and so I even asked my principal who might be going, because she's really neat, and because I said, hey, can I have a stogie with him? And she said, oh, no, you know, this is a school function. If he wants to, the captain, he's lord of the ship, but you're a teacher, and we're not having you smoke in front of the kids. So,
what if you're on fire?
Yeah.
What's that?
What if you're on fire? I mean, I guess there's different ways of taking that. 718-305-7176. You listen to Soldiers of Patriotism with our special guest, John W. Stevens, author of The Sissification of America. Check his book out. It's very good. You can get it at Amazon, and we'll have some links displayed around. We already got some. I want to ask you, if somebody took away the most important thing out of your book, John, and you can hold this thought for after this quick break here, but if somebody took the most important thing out of your book, what would it be? And we'll ask you that right after this break here.
I'm looking.
Run.
Oh, well, that was just absolutely fascinating. A little bit of Beals there. Soldiers of Patriotism, conservativenationradio.org, 718-305-7176. And we're talking to John W. Stevens, author of Sophistication of America. And let's get back to that. I asked you what if you would have anybody come off your book after reading it, what would be the one most thing that you would wish them to take home with them?
Here is the thing, being, and I document this throughout the book. We have been at three clear defining moments in our history. The first was in 1775 and 1776 with our Minutemen at Lexington and Concord, when we decided with our patriots to run the gauntlet and challenge our government at that time, which was the British government. We declared our independence, we fought our revolution and won. That was the first defining moment. Second was at the outbreak of the Civil War, when we were going to decide, are we going to remain one country or are we permanently going to have two countries? And the third that I bring out is right now. We are at a defining moment that is as equally important as the other two, in the sense that what direction do we want America to go? There are two, it's in the conclusion of the book. It's like, you know, there are two poker hands being played before the American people, the liberal, secular, progressive one, and the traditional one, the conservative one. Do we want to go down the path of, ancient Rome, where we go down and because we are following in the footsteps of socialism and United Nations and a one-world government and a currency similar to the euro, an impotent army and military force? Is that the direction we want to go, or do we want to rekindle a city upon a hill that both Ronald Reagan and John F. Kennedy referenced in, you know, their administrations in the 20th century? That is one of the reasons why the publisher of the book at Create Space is affiliated with Amazon.com. They asked me for my input step by step on the video book trailer. And if people go to my website and click on the video book trailer, that's what I want them to come away with. We're at a point now where we have to decide once and for all, which direction do we want to go? And I kind of spell it out using the metaphor of a poker game. You know, let's look at the cards that the secular progressives are laying out before us. Is that what you want, or do you want the cards that are played in the traditional American movement? And we have to go, and depending on which one, if the choice is ours, is going to depend on whether we can rekindle our country and get back to our founding principles, or we're going to go in the way of the ancient Rome, and we'll be just like any other empire that was mighty for a while but fell because, you know, we succumbed to the same temptations and the same follies that every other nation has succumbed to.
Yeah, and I think earlier you alluded to, you know, the fact that liberals, don't like to hear the message, because I think they know where it's going to lead us. And I'd like to bring Richard Gates, another author and a fine person here. I know he's been waiting on hold here, so I just want to get him on to ask any questions if he has. Richard, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How about yourself, man?
Oh, pretty good, man. How you doing? Do you got any questions for John? Or
hi, Richard.
Want to add to the discussion?
I want to know, how about the two-party system? I mean, it seems like the liberals are dragging the Republicans farther to the left.
They are.
And if we look down that, is the two-party system working, or do we need to do something different?
Well, in my opinion, based on the research of my book and recent elections, I think the Grand Old Party has a decision to make. And we are kind of at our own little civil war, so to speak, in the party. We either can go the way of the moderates and, the rhinos and hope that is somehow what the majority of the American people want, which I totally disagree with. I think Pat Caddell had it absolutely right at CPAC 2013. Or if they don't see the errors of the way and where it's taking us along the path of Democrat light, we then are going to have to begin our own party. And I don't know what we could call it, any number of things, Patriot Party, Conservative Party, Constitution Party, whatever. But the point is, we're at that defining moment now where we have to make a decision. And I'm getting personally tired of the establishment running this, and that I was told in some research and a lot of articles that I was reading that 4 million traditional Americans sat out the last election, and we could have won it. And so what's all this stuff about the independent voter? The independent voter we had a majority of the independent voters, and we still lost. Why? Because we had 4 million of our base sit out this last election. So nobody can convince me that the Rhino way is the way for the Republican Party to go, pure and simple.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are getting sick and tired of it. The more, you know, I hear more and more people going, what in the world is this government doing? And in my opinion, what we need to do is that new young blood, the Senator Cruz's, the Senator Rand Paul, you know, we really need to get these people who have been in office for a career, 20, 30 years, we need to get them the heck out and get new people in there, because they've got it in with their lobbyists, and they're just too much, you know? We need new blood, new ideas.
Well, yeah.
Because they're not open.
Let me add something real quick.
Good.
I've ran for office twice under the Republican ticket. I've gotten no support from the Republican Party, per se. And the reason is because I'm a true conservative. I value the principles of our founding fathers and our Constitution. And I uphold my oath of office as a veteran. And to me, I've made the choice that I'm going to join the Constitution Party, because I've read over the bylaws and their platform, and I found nothing that I disagree with. And to me, the Republicans Karl Rove's and the rest of them are saying that we need such a big tent. I tell them to go to Tampa, Florida, and look up the College of Clowns under Barnum and Bailey, because I think they've got a few big tents that they can share.
Yeah, it's actually Sarasota, Florida. I've been to that college.
I think it is possible to take the party back, but I think we need to really be much more aggressive about it, because it seems like the party apparatus is just very, very controlling, and they mock the Tea Party movement, and within our own party, Lord, we have to fight that with the Democrats and the liberals, but we should not have to fight that within our own party. And, you know, that's why I'm for people such as Ted Cruz or Marco Rubio or Alan West, whatever, because these guys are young, they're fresh, they communicate, they stand with these values that we cling to for the most part. We'll never have 100% agreement, but at the same time, they're the lifeblood of, and we need to get behind them. Rand Paul, another one. You know, when he stood up and did his filibuster on the Senate, and look how, you know, Senator McCain and Senator, I'm trying to remember his name, from South Carolina.
Lindsey Graham.
Yeah, calling
Lindsey
them.
Lindsey Graham. Yeah, he followed
you know,
McCain.
Yeah,
like
Lindsey
like
Graham, of all
dog.
People, wacko birds and stuff like
well,
that are, you know, I'm glad
he's
going
on. He's a lapdog to
here.
McCain. So, I mean, what killed me with Rand Paul is he was doing so good, and then all of a sudden he's like the Starship Enterprise coming in, the, you know, and all of a sudden somebody landslides him with, some kind of Borg attack. But it was his own attack. You know, when you get up there and you tout illegal amnesty, or you tout amnesty for illegals, and you don't have to go back home, you just come here and get, you know, and me and Barbara and her husband were talking about this a little bit earlier. Back in the 30s, before the 30s and so on, people came here for a reason. They came here for freedom. They came here to escape tyranny in their own countries. Now they come here for welfare. They come here to see what they can get. And that's just the attitude that it is. But when these GOP people out there, you know, these politicians sit there and they keep shooting themselves in the foot. They take one step behind, ahead, and they take five steps back. And it's like, how is anybody supposed to take them seriously?
Yeah, I know. It's very, very frustrating.
Exactly my point. And you know what? It's kind of like what Reagan said in 1963, that he'd been a Democrat all of his life, and he had found reason to change his position and to become a Republican. And for me, I find a similar cause, that the Republican Party has abandoned conservative principles. That they've become the party of the majority rather than the party of principles and conservative values. And I find that very distasteful.
Oh, it is for me, too. And, Richard, if you can hold that thought, I want to get back to John here a little bit, and I want to bring Kurt in, perhaps, and Ron. And we got somebody 817. I don't know who that is, but
Michael. That's Michael.
That's Michael. Oh, well, let's bring Michael in then.
Michael B.
Well, maybe I won't bring Michael in. How's that? Hey, brother, how you doing?
Hey, brother, how's it going?
You and Barton, thanks for stepping up today in my absence. First, Dean, thanks for stepping up, brother. I'm sorry. I know this is two weekends in a succession of three, but Greg's back in town, and we've been busy this weekend. My brother James and Greg and I, we've been busy this weekend, and now we're over at Mom's having us a toddy, and we're fixing to have some homemade smoked brisket and homemade bread and beans and all that good stuff. But I wanted to call in and just update y'all real quick. It's probably off topic from what you're speaking about, but had a real good weekend. Greg's been working on the statue, finalized. It's all ready to go into the lost wax process. Taya was there this morning with the kids. I entertained the kids while Greg and Taya worked on the statue, along with my son Quinn. They're doing terrific, guys. And to our supporters, I'm sorry that I'm not available today, but as you all know, been very diligent on this Chris Kyle statue. Things are moving. Taya's put out emailed Greg a really nice letter we'll be putting out in support of the statue. If we could just get everybody to go to AmericanPatriotsAndArt.com and donate $5, we'd be pleased as heck to help offset the cost, $85,000. But things are looking good. I thought, Bing, if you've got a minute, I might hand the phone to Greg and just let him say hello to our listeners and update you guys.
Oh, definitely. I want to know how this thing is going. Yeah.
Well, here, let me hand the phone to Mr. Greg Mara.
All right, Greg Mara, artist.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hey Greg, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, because the statue is finally finished, guys.
Man, it looks awesome. Michael posted a picture earlier. It looks awesome.
It is. I mean, it was like the last little details to make sure the face and everything was just right. And stepping away from it was good, so I can come back and see it in a different light. And Taya, everybody that she showed the pictures to, the field buddies of Chris's, they all just said, man, it's a spitting image. And historically accurate, right guns, everything. So it's in the bar tomorrow. Go ahead.
You are just a perfectionist, ain't you? I mean, I've seen your work, man, and you are attention to detail. That is it.
Well, I guess there's a fine line between fine art and just regular art, I guess. I don't know. I mean, it's like a 16th of an inch can make a difference.
Yeah.
Well, there's some people out there that are artists that say, well, that's commercially acceptable, and that's become a term now in this industry, as you know. So, but you don't adhere to that. No, I like that. I like that a lot.
Well, it's kind of nice to know the statue's American made, and it competes with that of the Italian Renaissance, the quality of the statues of old. And it's all American made, and nothing. Even when we do miniatures, which we'll offer those will all be made in America. And it is the best quality, because we are the best nation with the best warriors, best workers, the best minds. We have to stop apologizing for being the best and just be the best.
Oh,
amen.
True, Truer words not spoken, man. We appreciate that.
My next project, guys, I'm working on my next project right now. It's going to be a statue to Benghazi.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Yep, I'm already in the works working on that. And it's, you know, it's on to the next mission. And in that statue, I'm going to show Chris Stevens praying, two SEALs with guns, protecting him. And the other fella from the Air Force. Sorry if I don't have the names. I've just been busting my butt, and that's not respectful. But he will be having a telephone calling for help. And the title of the statue is going to be "The Last Stand," the Alamo of the Middle East.
Wow.
Oh, good.
So I know you all got goosebumps because everybody does.
I do. Yeah, I do. That's first I've heard of this. See, Michael don't tell me nothing, man, you know. I mean, I didn't know I was doing this show till yesterday, and I had to sit there and coax it out of him, you know. But, yeah, that's great, man. That's fantastic. I hope
you guys
got
heard
anything
it first, so.
Oh, well, thank you. We got an exclusive, Barbara.
Yep.
Oh,
there
excellent.
We go. So is this going to be up on your website soon, Greg?
I'm talking with some people, and I'm organizing a meeting with I'm trying to get a meeting with Michelle Bachman at the end of the month and a couple other people to announce it to them. And I'd like to, and I have T40 supporters to get behind me, help out with that, because they said to me specifically that's such an important issue for people right now and needs to be addressed. And I just... I believe that God brings these things around, and I just pick up the jobs. If the angels give you a job to do, you just better do it. And
I tell you what, you are doing the Lord's work, brother. You are definitely
Amen.
Doing the work.
And I'm done with feeling just from the way everything is so perfect. You can tell that your heart and soul is into it.
It is, and... I really believe that the other side has controlled the art and movie industry and all that for so long, and it's really kind of brainwashed a lot of people and made us, you know, in this apology mode. Mm. And, you know, in a conservative side, we have a lot of beautiful country singers that are, you know, conservative, and we've got Ted Nugent, and I guess I'm kind of a secret weapon because I got a master's degree from New York City from Lib Central, and boy, do I have a different message. And that message is strong.
Yeah, you know? You studied in Italy too. I mean,
yes, I did. I studied in Europe for 6 years. I kind of call that like the artist tour of duty. And you know, I lived there, and there was a lot of anti-American sentiment all over Europe, but I was there for a reason. And one of them was to meet my awesome wife who came here, and I'll tell you, she's a patriot. She loves this country, and she's the perfect example of an immigrant doing the right things, a registered nurse. At one time, she was working in a cancer center for children. I mean, what a job, and taking care of our children. And I also was able to learn from the old masters, and most of all, realize how awesome America is. It's the best place in the world.
Yeah, and
I mean,
your wife is living out.
Good.
Your wife is living out the American dream. What it's all about.
Yeah, and she's just a, like you said, a peach, man. She wants her citizenship, and not because somebody's going to give it to her. It's because she's going to get it herself.
She busts her butt. She learned the language. Takes care of this family, and when times were hard and I wasn't pulling in the bacon and I was doing this patriotic artwork, she never said, don't do it. She said, honey, keep following your dream. I know it's going to work out. I'll support us. You just keep doing what you're doing. So she's really the backbone behind all of this.
Wow.
And, you know, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
The thing that we have, what we have to realize as Americans is that we have the oldest constitution, the most unique system. We cannot become socialized. I lived in Europe for 6 years. I've seen it all. And it's not no way to live. like they live over there. The food's good in places. I'll tell you, it's different food, and, you know, hey, you can get that anywhere. But, you know, it's true what they say. You don't see people rushing to live in Europe. People are coming here to live and settle. How can we let those Continental soldiers who became farmers that became soldiers walking in the snow on Christmas on 1776 as a trail of blood in the snow with their feet wrapped up with no shoes? How can we look at them and say, hey, we're gonna become socialists?
Yeah.
Oh no,
God help us.
We can't. And I'll tell you what, I got all the studio lines open, Greg. So if anybody wants to ask you a quick question, we already done and passed our break, so we'll do the next one here pretty soon. But if anybody has any questions, just ask.
Okay.
You got Greg Morrow. Ron, Kurt, Richard, John.
Well, I agree. We're the greatest country on the earth. We just need to rekindle a city upon a hill. And back with what he was saying with the soldiers, you know, even our Puritan foundations in Boston in 1630, you know, started Harvard College in the first Commonwealth. They started excellent schools, and they laid a foundation. They had their faults. They had their problems like anybody else, but at least they laid a foundation, and nobody can really argue with that. We've had great presidents of the 20th century, like Ronald Reagan, talking about and drawing that link to our past in a positive way, saying that we need to get back to that. And boy, is that ever a message that needs to happen now.
Yeah, that we do.
Well, you know, it's funny that you bring up the education. There's in Pennsylvania, where I was living, there was DeLog College, and William Tenet started that. And it was an amazing place. It was actually all the Ivy League schools started out of it. And I was like, hey, where's the statue there? You know, it's not just about soldiers. I mean, just someone who's an intellectual who fights to make a concept grow, like Tesla, who created alternating current. These guys are awesome Americans, innovative, and fighting for the right for us to be capitalists and grow. And use our intellect. I mean, there's so many beautiful things about this country. And what we have to do is just stop apologizing and say, you know what, we're the best. That's it.
Yeah.
We are the best country.
Yes, indeed.
The apology tour is over. The culture revolution has already begun. And the Italian Renaissance is on the way. And it's time for us to just stop apologizing and just get ready for the glory days. That's it. The glory days are coming, and everybody just has to know it's coming. Well,
yeah,
I'm tired, guys. I worked very, very hard today, and I'm a little tired. Do you mind if I hand the phone back to Mike? And I really appreciate talking to you.
Oh, no problem.
Oh,
Greg.
Thank you.
Man,
thank you for
you so
all
much.
You've done.
Thank you for the exclusive.
Thank you, Greg.
You're welcome, everyone.
Thank you,
God bless.
God bless.
Thanks, Greg. I'll be in just a minute. Well, guys, that's the report from Texas.
AmericanPatriotsInArt.com.
Yes.
Is that right, Michael?
That is correct, Brother Bing. That is correct. And just to follow up from 2 weekends ago when I reported from On Location, TeaParty.net we've spoken to them. We've worked it out. They are, in fact, a legitimate supporter of they're dropping their support of Wounded Warrior. Boyd can probably tell you a little bit more about the Wounded Warrior thing, which we're going to move away from as well. TeaParty.net is, in fact, a legitimate contributor and sponsor of this project and of future projects moving forward with American Patriots in Art, of which you know, we were the first in bed, guys, us and our team and our supporters, our listeners. We were the first in bed with American Patriots in Art, and I'm very proud of us and our team for being a part of this and helping this. This Benghazi statue thing is going to be big. We'll be gearing up for that. Just wanted to call in and say thank you so much for being and Barbara for picking up my slack today. Hopefully it'll be a while before this has to happen again, but you know what? I had to kind of do what I had to do this weekend. Greg was coming in town, and Brother James and I are the wheels.
Cool.
Oh, well, no problem, man. You do what you need to do. I'll sit there on the sidelines and bitch you out, okay?
All right, guys.
You can eat that nice food, that good food, while we're sitting here working for you, okay? Yeah.
I will enjoy every bite of it and think about you guys and wish you were here with me.
Hey, yeah. Make sure you download the show after you're done, okay? It was a good one.
Well, it will be a good one. Yeah, absolutely. And we've got our new show starting up next Saturday. So, man, things are looking good in Conservative Nation Radio land. So, again, guys, I'm going to get in here and finish this visit with Greg for this weekend, and I'll talk to y'all later. Love you all. Love our supporters and all of our listeners. And, God bless America, and Conservative Nation Radio is kicking ass and taking names.
Yeah, man.
We'll talk to you guys later. Love you, bye.
All right, Michael, be good.
Wow. I'm a spot reporter, Michael calling in. But,
wow. I'm excited now about the Benghazi statue.
Yeah, because that is going to just totally tee off a bunch of liberals.
But you know what? I really want that to be done. Like you said, it's going to start being mentioned, but I want Hillary, because Hillary's going to be running, supposedly, in 2016. And if we continue to say, she was all a part of this, then hopefully the truth will come out.
Well, yeah, and with Greg, you don't ever know what he's going to do. So, I mean, the guy's got so much talent, and he's definitely got ability. He's definitely got the ability to get it done, so... I mean, I'm sitting there, like he said, I do have shivers, because I'm sitting there going, wow, that's a great monumental thing. What do you think about that, John?
Oh, I think it's absolutely fantastic. And I know if Hillary does win, we just need to make sure that we don't get those rhino handlers saying, oh, you can't get too tough. You can't go after it. It'll seem like you're beating up on a woman or something along those lines. So we have to make sure.
But it's okay for them to go off on,
Michelle
Bachman.
She's not a woman, though.
And,
I mean, come on, I'm just saying. I knew her. I worked with her uncle at one time, and, man, that woman can sit there, I guess, and throw some vases, and she don't pull no punches either.
I love you, Southerners. I've got to come down there and live like in that Tennessee area. But can you do me two things that really worry me and that bother me? One is,
sure.
Can you create some kind of bubble where I can walk in drier air instead of humidity? And the second is, can you do something about those tornadoes? I don't want to face an F4 or an F5 tornado.
Nah, they only cruise through certain areas that we want them to cruise through. So
probably get lucky within the first year, be one of them.
I guess if we go green, then that should take care of global warming, right?
No.
Yeah, go green. You got all these little hybrids running around there going to Crackle Barrel, I think is the one that's putting up all these little plug-and-play kind of stations. And I'm thinking, I don't know. I guess, that's cool. I can understand that if a private company wants to do that. But we are subsidizing all these, the Nissans and so on out there, we're subsidizing them. That's another topic for another discussion, but it just freaks me out to the point that we actually are subsidizing the death of the coal industry, which is still a very big, important part of our lives in this country. I mean, if California, and John, I mean, I guess you can talk about this a little bit too. Out in California, they're wanting to, there's whole communities wanting to demonize big coal, And
yes.
If I was the coal industry, I would say, okay, you want to demonize us? We're going to cut you off right now.
Yeah, I really.
That's it.
Same thing with the oil. You've got all these environmental wackos that just, it just drives me crazy. It does most of us. And we're paying the highest amount of price on a gasoline, even more than Hawaii, because of all the regulations out here. And, you'd think maybe the liberal people would be a little bit up in arms at the fact that it costs you $60 to $70 just to fill up a car at gas you know, a tank of gas, and it's even much worse now on a truck. It's over $100. It's sickening.
Yeah.
I'd love to see somebody cruising down a road with one of these electric cars and strap a some redneck somewhere and strap a generator on top so they can recharge it when they want to. I think it would be funny as hell, okay? I'm just saying. That's just me. But anyways, we got a quick commercial break. John, we'll be right back with you, and
sure.
We'll close out this show here, and we'll get the rest of the roundtable on. Hey, all you secret members of the Joe McCarthy Fan Club, join Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central for Radio Free America. Duke lists anti-communist among his hobbies. I kind of like that. Which is probably why NBC didn't hire him to fly a national network news helicopter. But if you love history, politics, frying, and the occasional Whitaker Chambers reference, check out Duke Brooks on Radio Free America, Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central, on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives.
My name is Tom Thornton.
And my name is Cindy Thornton. We've been married 38 years, we're retired, and this is how we live united.
We play golf and we travel, but we also decided we were going to give to and volunteer with United Way at our community free health clinic.
I do the nursing at the clinic.
I work the front office, checking in patients, greeting them, making them feel comfortable.
United Way is how we contribute, because we know our time and money are going to the right places, the places that need it most and implement it best.
Judging by the thank yous we get at the clinic, I'd say we're doing the right thing with our retirement, too.
We even get a few bless yous. It's incredible.
We're Tom and Cindy Thornton. We volunteer at our community free health clinic, so we don't just wear the shirt.
We live it.
Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts, stoprex.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
All righty, we're back. Hello?
Hello? I'm here.
Oh, okay. Nobody answered. I heard nothing. I'm like, oh, no, but you're by myself?
Well, I thought maybe Bing was...
I don't know where Bing is. I hope his Skype didn't screw up on him. Might have. Anything's possible. We can't hear you, Uncle Bing. But anyway.
Well, we can talk. We can chat. Maybe hopefully he'll be able to.
Oh, I'm back.
There he is.
Yeah, he said. He wanted to do a round table.
Yeah, guy was knocking on my door about a dog he had for sale, so. I had to go talk to a man about a dog. But anyways, yeah, we got Kurt and we got Ron in here. And any guys got questions or comments or suggestions? Or well, I tell you what, keep your suggestions to yourself, all right?
Well, you just shot me down.
Hey, man, you know, I'm trying my best here, all right? So,
yeah, I got Kurt.
Well, one thing that I did want to mention is about education. There's people that think that homeschooling is great. However, me and Brenda had Tina Hollenbach on our show last week, and she's the Educational Freedom Coalition. And that's also the website. It's the educationalfreedomcoalition.org. Now, Tina is a homeschool teacher. And with that, she said that they're getting new curriculums, which is going towards the Common Core standards. And she's furious. So she's on a mission. So if anybody thinks that, you know, just because you homeschool your kids, that it's different from what they're learning in the schools, It's really not, because right now they're looking for it's the educational resource database that provides the homeschooling curriculum. They're finding out who's not going with the Common Core and going with them. But, yeah, ugly things are coming all around.
So they have to go by curriculum, I guess, too. So, but
right, exactly.
Yeah, that's the first time I've heard that about homeschool. That's interesting.
Yeah. You could look at the educational. I'll go ahead and put it in the. The Educational Freedom Coalition.org.
Well, we got a caller too on 302 area code. Hello.
Is that you, Bing?
Yes, that's me.
This is your friend Duke Brooks. How are you today?
Hello, Duke. How you doing there, sir?
Oh, not bad. I'm just wading through computer problems here. It takes my computer about 5 minutes to go to a website. And when I open a browser like Chrome or one of those things, and I type in the address of a website, it takes about 5 minutes for it to actually come up on the screen. And then if I want to go to another website after that, it takes about another 5 minutes. But I digress. So anyway, I hope everybody...
Cleaning your cookies out.
I have dumped my cache. Actually, that happened in 2007, but that's not important now. But I cleaned that out. I disabled all cookies. I did all that sort of stuff. And the lesson I've learned is that the faster a computer is, the slower it is. You know, it didn't used to be this slow, but if somebody gets a brand new computer, the one with the Octafonic T-Video Super inboard, outboard lifter, you know, and megahertz MIPS and memory and all this stuff, and it'll run really fast for about a day, and then the next day it's going to be slow. But I digress. I just hope that everyone, computers notwithstanding, will be able to join me tomorrow night from 7 Eastern, 6 Central for Radio Free America here on conservativenationradio.org. And we're going to have some very interesting topics. Primarily, we're going to be talking about what this absurd president and Democrat Congress is trying to do to our country. And anybody that doesn't think that they're trying to wreck it is not paying attention. So that's going to be our topic for tomorrow night. I hope everybody takes notes. And we'll
Duke, you'd like my book. I really delve into that big time.
Oh, yes? All right. Well, fill me in. Tell me more.
Well, it's just, I think we're down to the last 5 minutes, but the title of it is The Sissification of America, 50-Year Decline in American Exceptionalism, where I chronicle how during the past 50 years we've allowed our virtues of exceptionalism to decline seriously, and the liberal agenda and what they want and what their ultimate goal is. And so I use the beauty of our history and how that has made us strong and what we need to do and the game plan we need to use to get things back on track, because it is possible to turn things around. We just need to, in part, educate our brothers and sisters, and that's what I'm hoping my book will do. So we'll see.
Well,
I
hope
it will.
We can do that, and we would have to overcome a lot of institutionalized leftism. In the country, we would have to somehow, I mean, ideally, the National Labor Relations Board should be ordered to decertify all teachers' unions in the country. And that way, we would no longer have professional leftists at the NEA and the AFT telling the teachers how to teach the students. There was something on Fox this morning about a current events test in a class at some high school somewhere that said that why are terrorists attacking America? And the possible answers were A, there are some people that just hate Americans. B, America has done things that have caused other groups to hate us. C was, some other answer. And D was all of the above. The correct answer was B. In other words, it's our fault. And these are professional, anti-American, agitating, communist fellow travelers in the education unions in this country that are doing this. And
well, that's because
they're
in part they're under the control
both.
Of the Democrats, yeah.
That's exactly correct. The Democrat Party, the big government employees unions, they know which side their bread is buttered on. That's why they are the biggest supporters of the Democrat National Committee. The Democrats are the party of big government. No question about it.
Yep.
Well, it should not surprise anybody, really. I mean, it doesn't
surprise
anybody.
That's why we need vouchers in school choice. We've gotten to a point where, I talk about that in the last chapter, about how this all started in 1965 when Lyndon B. Johnson federalized public education. And Jimmy Carter took it to a cabinet level with a Secretary of Education, and George W. Bush and the Republicans put through No Child Left Behind and brought it up to another level, and just, all of them, taking control away from local school boards and local communities. I mean, it's no-brainer. We all need to learn to read, write, and do arithmetic and function and, with technology, but goodness gracious, we don't need to tout the liberal talking points and party points to our children and our schools, and that's exactly what's happening.
Well, thank you, Dave, for calling in, and we're going to get over to your show tomorrow night, and that's from 7 p.m. Central, or Eastern, 6 Central. So
that's correct.
I don't need to confuse anybody, but, we'll get on over there.
All right, my friend, have a great evening.
Yeah, and I want to thank our guest, John W. Stevens, author of Sissification of America. And, John, go ahead and give that link out again, and we'll roll on out of here. Anyway, I'm going to roll on out with some CBD.
It's been great. I've enjoyed this thoroughly. It's www.sissificationofamerica.com, and it'll take you right to the bookstore if you click on the picture of the book.
Thank you, John. Thank you all
for
tuning in to Soldiers of Patriotism this week. It was a great show. I really loved every single guest that we had, every single caller. So keep it up, keep spreading the word, and let's see if we can't move this country around. Barbara, thank you so much for being my host, co-host.
It's been my pleasure.
I appreciate it, and I know you like this group.
Dang sure got it beat, 'cause I ain't